Hello and welcome to another episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives. My name is Diana Isaacs. I'm joined by my co-host, Natalie Bellini. We are coming to you from ADA Size Sessions in Chicago. And in this episode, we have a very special guest. We have Kevin Sayre of Dexcom. Yay!
Hey.
So, Kevin, we're so happy to have you here. If you don't mind, just introducing yourselves, and just in case any of our viewers don't know who
Great.
you are, and maybe a little bit of your background and role within Dexcom.
I'll go to my diabetes history even. I was a CPA at Ernst & Young, and Al Mann contacted me to go become the CFO at MiniMed. And he told me everything they were doing, and I looked at him and I said, "Yeah, I'm not going to do it because your plans are wrong. You're going to fail." And 6 months later, he called me back. He said, "Yeah, you're right. We failed. I need you." So I accepted the job and went home and told my wife we were moving. And I had seen insulin pumps there. And I'm a computer geek, so my master's degree is in accounting and information systems, but I did a lot of coding. I couldn't code now, but I used to be able to write a lot of stuff. And this just made sense to me. Okay, I said, okay, I think there's a problem we can solve. And then I saw my first glucose sensor in 1995, and we had these beakers, and we put sensors in the beakers, and it would run up the score like a basketball scoreboard. And say what the glucose the sensor sensed was. And then behind there would be a placard that said, "That's 150." That I'm thinking, we've already fixed this problem in 1995. So I worked at MiniMed for a long time to when Medtronic bought it and got familiar with diabetes and type 1 and how that worked. And then Medtronic and I parted ways. I wasn't a multi-divisional big company guy. And they figured that out. And I figured it out too. It was fine. I was away from diabetes for a while. And then in 2007, my dear friend took over as CEO at Dexcom and he called me up. He said, "I need you to join my board." And so I joined the board at Dexcom in 2007. And then in 2011, made the decision to come in full time. So I've been with the company since 2011 full time. I was president and COO for a while. I became CEO in 2015. We've grown from $40 million in revenues to this year's analyst estimates are about $4.6 billion. It's a much different ride. I was employee 300, and we have nearly 12,000 now. I do not know all their names. I do know the original 300, those that are left, though. I know them pretty well. So it is just, and I always felt glucose monitoring in the realm of diabetes care, as you look at the pie that people need for diabetes as far as drugs or drug delivery, I always felt that glucose value was the most important piece because insulin works. But if you don't know what you're trying to fix and you don't know the result of what you do, you can never make a great decision. I never felt finger sticks were a great decision. And so monitoring always made sense. So at Dexcom, I've had the opportunity to work with incredible scientists and just great people. And we just come so far.
I mean, it's changed the way we've been able to bring glucose targets down. We've been able to bring the, you're never just 154. You're 54 and going up, going double arrow up, going, you're steady as you can be. You're down. I mean, that speed and direction of change, I think, changed the face of managing diabetes for all of us,
Oh, I
every
agree.
single person.
I'll tell you the other thing that changed it was sharing the data. When we
Just talking about
launched our first, if you want a list of my mistakes, there's some of those too, but we were trying to figure out how to share data. And I went to my first investor meeting when I was at MiniMed, and every investor asked me, "How many patients do you have? How many sensors do they wear?" And I couldn't answer any of those questions. So I'm sitting on an airplane and I drew something. I said, "You know, if we could put the receiver in a cradle that would send data to the cloud, we could figure all this out." So I went and shared my concept with our technology team, and they designed this cradle, and we bought a whole bunch of them. But at the same time we did that, we were putting a Bluetooth chip in the receiver. And they approved the Bluetooth chip at the FDA at the same time they approved the millions of dollars of cradles that we never got to sell. So, but literally 3 days into sharing data, I got my first note. it was a law school student, and he said, "You guys have saved my life." He goes, "I took my finals. I had studied all night. I took my finals. I thought I was okay. I took a drink of orange juice and decided to take a nap. I was going to get up and mow the lawn. 3 hours later, EMTs have broken into my apartment because my brother on their side of the state had seen my data. 3 days. It's also created some weird family dynamics, Chief.
Yes, but children can go to school now safely.
They can go to camps.
They can be independent. I mean, even, you know, we look at this as, we'd almost always go to children, right?
Children
are safe. But spouses, significant others, elders.
That whole infrastructure.
We leave alone still. We say, "Mom, your blood sugar's dropping. I'm going to stay on the phone while you go get a snack. Let's get your groove." Or, "Mom, your blood sugar's 250. Where are you?" "I'm at the club with the girls. I'll take my insulin when I get back. At least we know she's safe.
At least you know she's okay."
Right? And that is ever.
Yeah. And we're about to launch a new edition of the follow app that'll come here in 2024.
Ooh, tell us more.
I don't have all the features, but it's going to be. We really haven't had a significant upgrade to follow. But wow, this will be, it'll be really nice.
Oh, we're super excited about that because we believe in that safety, right? Everyone should have someone following them.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big part of it.
You just have to pick the right ones.
Yeah, success in errors.
Or in conflict with your parents.
Exactly, right? Whether you're young adults.
So can you, just to switch gears a little, can you talk a little bit about type 2 diabetes and what innovations and what's kind of new being done in this space?
So let's start with the concept. And let me just give you a bit of Dexcom history. You know, every major step here, we've been heavily involved in, if not solo, like sharing data that with us or anybody else. Getting sensors labeled to be non-adjunctive, you don't have to stick your finger anymore. That was us. Medicare approval, basal insulin approval. We've been very active in pushing the expansion of CGM to enhance people's lives. And the next frontier for us, we'll never walk away from our insulin. Let's be very clear, and I've heard that in the halls here. We're very focused on insulin using and making sure our AAD patients and all the intensive insulin users have the tools they need, but type 2 patients need tools as well. The type 2 patient's journey is much different. It's not like if you don't take a shot, you're going to die. It's like, okay, I'm going to write your prescription, exercise more, eat a little less, and take your drugs, and I'll see you in 6 months. And these folks go on this 20-year journey where they just keep getting worse and worse and worse without a tool. CGM gives them the tool to figure out what's going on. We have a type 2 spokesperson in our Cello program, a former football player. And when I met him and talked to him at the Cello launch, I said, "So tell me about your experience." He said, "I've learned more wearing a Cello than in all my trips to the doctor." And he specifically called out a food. He goes, "I was eating oatmeal every morning. My sugar was spiking through the roof. Oatmeal's bad." And I said, "Well, it's a good food." He goes, "No." He goes, "I've eliminated that." He goes, "My average glucose is down significantly." These folks need a tool. It's solving a different problem than somebody with type 1 diabetes or an intensive insulin user or even a basal insulin user, because hypoglycemia is not their primary concern. Their concern is getting healthy and staying healthy and avoiding these long-term complications. So we've learned that with a G7 that's now approved by the three largest PBMs in the country. Now, by the end of 2025, all three PBMs will cover anybody with diabetes, which is a huge advance. They finally have a tool to figure out several things. Do my meds work? If you ask those doctors in there what the biggest type 2 problem is, they're all going to give you the same answer. People don't take their medication. Well, if you're on a sensor and you don't take your medication, you'll see what happens. Or if you're on one and you take your meds regularly and your meds work, you go, "Wow, I need to take my meds." They learn about nutrition. And even people without diabetes learn about nutrition. I have a little list of foods I don't eat anymore just from watching. So you learn about how nutrition can help. And you can learn even how to stack your meals. Do I eat my proteins first and then my carbs or vice versa? How do I minimize that glucose spike? They learn the effect of working out and activity. And ultimately, what we've seen in the studies we've done in many cases, we save the system a significant amount of money on a type 2 patient who's not on insulin because they go to the doctor less, they have fewer lab tests, they get off certain drugs, you have cardiovascular improvement, you have falling away. There's a lot of good things that happen. So we're excited about the opportunity, and we've done a lot to try and get it covered, but the system needs to pay for it. I mean, we have to work towards that end as well.
Right. I absolutely agree. I mean, this will continue to change more and more lives. And so in the beginning, we were, okay, this is going to prevent lows. People are going to be, they're going to be safer. They're going to be this. These are all insulin users. They can make better decisions about how much to take at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then we started with that Medicare person who only needs basal insulin for a very long term. And a basal and a GLP-1 are a beautiful combination.
They're a great combination.
And but then there's all these other people that realize that, you know, I had someone the other day using Estelo who said, did you know Cheerios, even though they say low sugar, aren't? Right? Well, they are low sugar, but they're not low carb. And that idea is completely new. And no matter what I write in my discharge note, I can't get through all the food someone might eat in a week. So this is a lesson. It's not telling them this is a bad thing. It's saying, okay, maybe less Cheerios with an egg, or maybe Cheerios and a walk, or maybe, and helping them learn that on their own in between visits.
So
that is everything.
I'm curious what Dexcom's going to do. So this is amazing with the coverage, and thank you, like all the advocacy to get it covered. What are you guys going to do to ensure the uptake? Because there's definitely barriers in terms of sometimes in primary care. Yeah.
There's a lot of work. One of the things we did a year ago, for example, we expanded our U.S. sales force significantly because we didn't have enough coverage in the primary care arena. And if a doctor doesn't see a Dexcom voice, it's very hard for them to use us. We will continue to publish more data. We're running studies. There are studies run outside of our company, but we have some really good studies that we publish over the next couple of years that will show the value of this for people with type 2 diabetes, not on insulin, and explain, look, by doing this, this is what you earn. I think it will leave clinical data. We'll continue to make the product easier and more accessible. We published a paper here, the state of type 2 diabetes, and the results were pretty cool in this survey. 111 healthcare professionals, 300 patients, and 2/3 of them don't use insulin. All of them said it's easy to use. All the patients say this is easy to use. And the physicians that are the healthcare professionals, the remarks are very interesting. It needs to be standard of care for everybody with diabetes. As far as using it with a GLP-1, 100% of the healthcare professionals said put them on a sensor tube. And so you start going down the list, and then you look at the outcomes of these people. Their A1C's come down. We don't have a weight loss indication or weight loss label, but weight follows if you quit eat, if you don't digest as many carbs. So there's really good outcomes. We need better to continue to develop better evidence and outcomes that we can explain to these folks. The other thing we have to do to make it more accessible is make it easy for the healthcare provider.
Yes.
One of the great lessons that we've been talking about as a company, we've built our company around the end user of the product, the stuff that we do, because that was our end goal. And you talked about this is for insulin users. We're going to keep them from going low. We're going to do this. Then we're going to share the data. And then we woke up one day and said, you know what? That doctor's our customer too. We need to make it easy for healthcare professionals to delve into type 2 and create a better experience for their patients where they can, in fact, make them healthier or help them on their own health journeys. And a lot of type 2 patients never go to specialists. A lot of them go see a cardiologist, or they'll see their OBGYN or their primary. We've learned it's not even just a primary care doctor that takes care of people with type 2 diabetes. So we need to make this simple and easy and meaningful. And those are the things we're working on and trying to do.
It's great. With more people now having access and coverage for the Dexcom G7, what are kind of the plans for the Stelo? Like, who do you see as the ideal user of
them? So when we launched Stelo, we launched it with the goal of covering anybody not on insulin. That's what it's labeled for. And the app is still very diabetes focused for people with type 2 diabetes. You'll see Stelo probably become more consumer driven, but still for somebody with type 2 diabetes on insulin, because maybe everybody will not have coverage. You know, one of the myths of the insurance industry is if a PBM covers you, everybody has it. But employers rewrite plans all the time. I don't want to pay for that. And then that becomes our fault. And people call us and say, hey, why don't you cover this? Well, we do. And so we'll still obviously have type 2 features. But we're starting to put things into both the G7 app that will help a type 2 patient. And we'll do more in the Stelo app that's more fitness type related and wellness type related. We'll incorporate Aura Ring data soon into the Stello app. You can get some, but not all of it meaningfully. Over time, we'll do that. They have a use of Stello in their app. You can see your Stello numbers in the Aura Ring app if you're wearing it.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm getting an Aura Ring right after the conference. I got a gift card. Okay. Everyone was waiting to get my gift card, and I'm buying an Aura Ring.
Okay,
but use it with the Stello.
And so Stello will probably migrate some that way, but a lot of the Stello features will also migrate over to G7. Because, again, if type 2s are covered, we're launching an AI-driven food recognition app.
Oh, I've heard of it.
Yeah, we played with it.
We love it.
It's kind of cool.
It's super cool. And, you know,
kind of any.
It's very okay.
It's going to be, I mean, honestly, what is the biggest challenge with diabetes? It's the food, right? Like, if we can get some.
So it's so funny you say that, because I've sat for years and played around with how do you make somebody's life better.
Right.
Who's on insulin. And the variable I always get to is food.
Yes.
The variable I can't handle is food. And I sit there, okay, we can make sensors more accurate. We can make faster acting insulin. We can make better devices. We can make algorithms that predict better. But what you can't handle that variable of food, because it's not scientific.
Exactly.
You just eat it.
Yep.
I agree with you 100%. So Stello will be a little more, drift a little more consumer-like, but it'll still be useful for people with diabetes too. But if we find a feature works really well in Stello, we'll move it over.
Right.
I like the education embedded, and that is a
but education's really good.
Hey, you're going up right now. Can you tell us, think about what happened 15, 30 minutes ago and help trend that?
One of the things we've had to learn with Stello is we don't need the same form of education we have for somebody with type 1 diabetes in Stello. And some of the things that we've done is we launched, I've looked at some of the slides. I actually had a good friend call me. He goes, look, I'm running my Stello app and you guys just displayed the screen. I don't need this. Please take it out. I said, you know, I don't run the software team, but I will pass that on. Yeah. So Stella's been really fun. And it's been really fun to walk into places and see people wearing it. Our first customers, in all fairness, were all the investors. And so I went and spoke at an investor conference on the East Coast. And we'd launched Stella the week before. There were probably 100 users. Who's wearing Stella? All these hands go up.
Hands up, right.
Hey, what do you think? And the guy we were with, one of the Wall Street analysts, he literally had lost, in 2 weeks, he'd lost 5 pounds because he quit doing a bunch of stuff. Now, I don't know that everybody's going to be that intense.
Right.
But those insights, and you can figure it out. We need to make it easier. People can figure out what's going on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love it.
Yeah. So we know 15-day G7 is coming very soon. Can you share with us anything else exciting that may be coming soon?
Soon, we have many software upgrades, like we had the foods added recently, and we have more we'll add to the G7 and the Stello apps over the course of the year. When we started in the software business, we weren't a software company. We were a medical device company. So with G6, you got one upgrade a year because we had a different app for every single country. G7 is like a software.
Yes.
We can upgrade it continuously. So we'll have several G7 upgrades that will make it better. 15-day has a new algorithm with it. And so there will be more accurate sensor readings. Patients will see that more on a macro basis over time. The individual readings, they'll be better, but not that much more precise. But they'll be more precise. We have GH under development, and we've talked about that a bit. We'll have a smaller physical platform when we do that. We'll have 15-day integrated with our pump partners very rapidly. That'll come quickly. There's more integrations coming with some of the new guys. I don't know how that, but we've been integrating with everybody forever. That wasn't real much. GH's not a soon thing. It's more of a thing that's out there a bit because we're going to redo it all. And then we're working on multi-analyte programs as well, but it'll be a while.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of talk here about ketones at the conference.
And it'll be interesting to see how that works. I'd love to measure more. I want to make sure we measure stuff that's useful. We know the medical risk of somebody who's on an AID system who's on a G7 isn't that high as far as DKA. We don't see many DKAs in the reports that we get. The other hand, if that's the safety feature patients want, we will figure out a way to deliver it to them at some point in time. But we'll be later. We're not going to be the first in there. We've been first with most everything else. We'll follow. That'll be fine.
I love it. So yeah, real quick for our listeners, if you are saying, well, my G7 doesn't do this, go back into your app store and just hit update and your G7 will have the food feature that we're speaking of.
Yeah.
It isn't done where I opened it. I'm like, it's not here. And someone said,
update it.
You have to go to the app store and upgrade.
Yep. Go to the update.
You had to teach me that too, by the way.
So you and I could do this, right? Like, yeah. So just go to your app store and just push the update button and it will be there. You can use it. We both tried it.
Yeah. I have a question on, you know, the different users. So someone using like the Stelo may not have diabetes or maybe has pre-diabetes versus people using the G7. You've got type 1, type 2 insulin users. Any thoughts to having different algorithms in terms of how they're analyzing glucose? Because one, you know, I would think for someone on insulin, you'd almost want it to overestimate hypoglycemia a little bit out of caution compared to somebody without diabetes. So just like, I'm just curious.
I love your question because I've asked the same question. Should we, and I'll give you my theoretical question I asked, and then I'll tell you the answer that I got. For somebody who's not got diabetes, should we make an algorithm really accurate between 70 and 180 and not care about anything else? Because if they're really high, it would just say really high. If they're low, it would say really low. And you could narrow it in that range and be really good. Anything that's a CGM has to go through the FDA based on their accuracy standards. And that's for type 1, non-insulin, insulin using everybody. So we really can't do that because if you focus in only that narrow range and you're not accurate above and beyond, you don't pass the standard. If you made it to whereby you were really, you know, overestimating on the low so you could really force people to make sure they never go low, if you're statistically off on that by too much, you're not going to get your product approved.
Exactly.
So we have to balance all those things with the FDA standards. And the FDA standards, in all fairness, are based on what we did with G6 back in the day when we submitted the G6 data. It was a several hundred patient study. They then took that and they go, okay, this is what we want a sensor to look like. And those are they're called ICGM standards. The statistical tables are somewhat mind-boggling and not the most exciting read in the world. But we abide by it all.
Wow.
So last question. All right. The product theater here was amazing.
Amazing.
Lance Bass. Oh, my goodness. How did you get him? And what's he like? I assume you got to meet him, right?
I have met him twice. And I would tell you, he's more genuine than you can believe. He is the nicest, most genuine, easy to talk to person ever. We reached out to him. His diabetes matters to him. He's a dad. He's got a couple of young kids. He doesn't want diabetes to define him. He doesn't want it to ruin his journey. So he was very focused on taking care of himself from the very beginning. He's been very open and engaging with our people. He's been willing to work with it. He's just been great. We've worked with Nick Jonas for years. Nick's his dad. Lance is just, he's been a delight. And Nick's been a delight to work with too. He's been very good. And in all fairness, those Nick Jonas commercials brought more awareness to CGM than anything we've ever had.
Absolutely.
And so those were fabulous. Now we were very selective, and we have 30,000 warriors who are Dexcom users. So like if we go film a commercial in Atlanta, we use our Atlanta Dexcom warriors in our commercial. We use our people,
which we love because those are real people, right?
Yeah, I mean, most of the time.
We as clinicians, you know, we say, patients. Well, patients are people.
No, they are.
People have to pay their bills and get to work and do those things. And that's admirable with diabetes all by itself.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So it's that combination that I love, which is, yes, we have the superstar, but we also have people.
Oh, you have to have people.
Yes.
This affects people every day.
I love it.
Yeah, it's not just stars.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Kevin.
You guys, I hope we've covered all you want to talk about.
Well, we could talk to you for hours if we could, right?
So
we have another list for the next time. That's what we can do.
That's fine. We can have a next time. You guys have been delightful.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you to all our viewers and listeners for tuning in to Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives.